welcome to the Florida Building Commission.
This conference will now be recorded.
Good morning and welcome everyone to the Florida Building Commission's Hurricane Research Advisory Committee meeting of May 24th, 2024. Jeff Blair will review the virtual meeting participation process and then conduct a roll call. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Welcome, everybody. Just please be aware of background noise. Please keep your devices on mute, but if you're using a phone, do not put yourself on hold. Please wait to speak until invited to do so at the appropriate times. And please state your name each time you speak and committee members when making and seconding motions. All right, Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and do the roll call. Chairman Bore.
Present.
Sergio Ascunce.
Present.
Joe Belcher.
Present.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Compton notified us that he wouldn't be here today. Ann Cope.
I'm here.
Okay. Commissioner Gross.
Good morning, Jeff. I'm here again.
Good morning, Jeff. Mark Michelson.
Good morning. I'm here, Jeff. Thanks.
Great, Mark. Craig Perino. Craig, are you on? Okay. John Plissage. Rebecca Quinn. Mike Savage. Mike, are you there? I see Mike's there. I'm going to mark Mike present because I see his name. Commissioner Schiffer. Brad. Commissioner Schock.
Here.
Very good. Jeff Schnellman.
Here.
Vince Sejas.
Present.
Commissioner Swope. Okay, well, we do have a quorum, but let me double check with those that did not respond. Craig Perino, John Plissage, Rebecca Quinn, Brad Schiffer, and Brian Swope.
You do have Mike Savage being here, correct?
I do, yes.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Sorry.
So we. Sure, no problem. So we have 10 of 16, and we do have a quorum, Mr. Chairman, so we are good to proceed.
Thank you, Jeff. Do you want to identify staff attendees?
Sure. From what I can see, we have Alan Burke, Sabrina Evans, Jim Hammers, Mo Madani, and Justin Vogel. If there are any others, I don't see their names, but so I apologize in advance, and then we'll go from there. Excuse me.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. The objectives for today's meeting are the approval of regular procedural topics, the agenda and the minutes, review and approve the research work plan for fiscal year 2024-2025, discuss and approve proposed scope of work for two proposed research projects, identification of next steps, and public HRAAC member and staff comments. Is there a motion to approve the agenda as posted and presented?
Mike Savage, so moved.
Second by Vince.
We have a first and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The motion carries. Thank you. Unless there are any corrections or revisions to the minutes, is there a motion to approve the April 17th, 2023 meeting minutes as posted and presented?
Vince Ayas, so motion.
Second, Mike Savage.
We have a first and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The motion carries. Thank you. Jeff Blair will facilitate the meeting from this point, including introducing the agenda items, committee member questions and discussions, public comment, and committee actions. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our first issue, of course, is for a MOTA review and we need to accept the research work plan for fiscal year 2024-2025. Mo?
Yeah, this
Good morning. This is Mama Johnny. Jim, share the screen if we can. Thank you, buddy. And here's our work plan. As you know, we're normally review list of research topics or potential research projects, and we go through the selections and all that. This time, as you know, we kind of limited to what we can do with the research fund that we have due to the fact that we have essential projects that we have to undertake. And as you know, we have on the agenda, there is two major research projects. One of them you already have reviewed, which is reviewing the standard for wind-driven rain intrusion through tracks or sliding glass door system during hurricanes. This project was presented to you at the last meeting, and you had some comments and suggestions for revision and improvement. So today, with you know the FIU, the principal investigator for the project, would present their revised scope of work to you. The second project that is really also before you to review is a project that the commission decided that it needs to be done, which is titled Investigation of the Windborne Debris Region in ASCE 722. That has to do with the new definition for the windborne debris region and trying to find a scientific justification for the change that was made to this definition. So the commission is very interested in this project with the understanding that any outcome of this research project will be used to during the update 2026 update to the Florida Building Code. We have to put together the scope of work for this research project. Staff communicated with University of Florida, Dr. Jennifer Bridge, who's the lead on this project, which was also is available today to give us the detail of the scope of work for this project. So this meeting, as you see, that we have already a specific project to review and recommend to the commission. Whatever you come up with and your recommendation with regard to these two projects will go to the commission at the June 18, 2024 meeting, which is the upcoming meeting for the commission. Then, you know, all goes all right, and the commission approved these two research projects. Then the plan is to get those two projects in line and approved internally here, and issuing maybe a contract for them to go into implementation or execution as early as July 1. Because of the fact we have a short time frame for these projects, for the completion of these two research projects. The first one, we are required to provide the legislature with a report on it by December 1, 2024. So that's really, we're talking about a few months. And for the windborne debris region research project, in order to be able to really incorporate any changes into the 2026 update, as you know, proposals are reviewed by next year, January next year, so we're going to be able to do that. So really these two projects is going to be in a fast track and all that. And ultimately, you know, normally we run these two projects, although maybe we're talking about a few months, but we run them to go through many or completed by June 15, 2025. And any question about the work plan?
Does any committee member have any questions?
And could we have a motion to approve the updated research work plan for fiscal year 24-25, please, by name?
Vince Sayhaus, so motion.
All right, Sayhaus and Schock, respectively. Mr. Chairman, go ahead and call.
We have a first and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The motion carries.
Good. Very good. Great. So we'll move on to the next issue, which is the substantive component of our meeting, which is to review and recommend to the commission the scope of work for these two research projects that Mo already described. We are going to be switching the order because the PI in the first one has another obligation. But the basic process is first Mo will provide a brief introduction. The PI will have a maximum of 15 minutes. I'll time it and give you some warning. Committee members have clarifying questions, any public comment, and then the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee's discussion and recommendation to the commission regarding the scope of work for each of the projects in turn. So, unless there's any questions on the process, our first project is reviewing the standards for wind-driven rain intrusion through tracks and sliding glass door systems during hurricane. And as Mo described, that was required by House Bill 1021. So I will turn to the PI. I think Omar Nofal is here to do this. Is that correct?
Yeah. Hello, Mr. Chairman. Hello, Jeff. Can you let me share my screen?
Jim will do that, and I'll get this timer set up here. Oops. Let me know when you're ready, and I'll start your time.
Can you see my screen?
Yes.
We can, yeah. Now just put it in presentation mode.
All right.
Perfect. You're ready to go.
Right. Hello, everyone. So this is Omar Nofal. I'm going to present our updated scope of work along with Arindam Chowdhury and Rion Katarali. So we reviewed the scope of work based on recommendation from the commission members from our previous meeting. So right now we are going to review the standards for wind-driven rain intrusion through tracks of sliding glass door systems during hurricanes. We excluded the testing part, so basically it's going to be a review process for the standards. So for task one, it's going to be for the formation of the technical advisory committee. So the objective of this task is to guide the research program. So the technical advisory committee members shall represent different groups of practitioners and academics. This may include representatives from cladding manufacturing industries, testing laboratories, academics, engineering firms, and code officials. Also, the main role of the technical advisory committee is to evaluate the various methods of wind-driven rain testing and inform revisions to the current testing protocols for studying wind-driven rain intrusion through tracks of sliding glass door systems. So this meeting we propose to have a minimum of five meetings, and it's going to be through a video conference. And for task two, we are going to review the existing literature, reports, and standards. So based on the recommendation from the Technical Advisory Committee, so FIU and Florida International University and the University of Florida, the departments of civil and environmental engineering at both institutions are going to review the current testing standards and relevant literature and reports related to wind-driven rain intrusion through tracks of sliding glass doors. Also, the research, we are going to research the studies and the test results for wind-driven rain experiments that has been previously performed at the Wall of Wind here at FIU and also at the University of Florida. The FIU are going to provide a summary of the literature and the testing review outlining the recommendations and conclusions for each research study that has been reviewed. For task three, we are going to formulate recommendations in collaboration with the Technical Advisory Committee based on the literature review conducted in item B. FIU are going to develop recommendations regarding to the applicability of the existing industry standards in testing wind-driven rain intrusion and evaluate the efficiency of mitigation devices and determine whether modification or new protocols are needed to be improved for testing and evaluation. Also, one thing that we added to the scope of work, FIU are going to consult the University of Florida, so we had Dr. Catarali from University of Florida. So he will shall serve as a consultant over the life of this project. So University of Florida are going to be a consultant, will provide assistance in the standards review based on the previous testing that they have done at the boundary layer at the University of Florida. So Dr. Catarali will also help also in the informing the technical advisory committee. Also, I would like to mention that the budget was cut from the 250 on the scope of work from previous one to around like 95,000 for the new scope of work. And thank you.
Thank you, Omar. Committee members, do you have any questions you'd like to ask regarding the scope of work for this this project?
Jeff, I'd like to ask a question.
Sure, Michael.
Just out of curiosity, there's been several members that have shared an interest in coming down and actually seeing the testing of the assembly. Is that something that will be available?
Based on the recommendation from the previous meetings that we are going to not do any testing for the budget so that we can cut the budget.
Oh, okay. That's what you're referring to. Okay, thank you. You clarified. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Any other committee members have any questions or comments?
Hey, Jeff. Mark Michelson.
Hey, Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Omar. Thanks for the revised scope. We appreciate that. And we have several names that we've submitted to MOE to be representatives on the TAC. So we appreciate having our industry being represented on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we got these names from MOE, so we have them listed and we are going to find them.
Right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mark. Any other committee member? All right. Is there anybody from the public? Jeff?
No.
Jeff. I see. Ann, go ahead, Ann, and then thank you for raising your hand because that helps. Go ahead, Ann.
Yeah, no problem. So this is Ann Cope. I just wanted to make a quick comment. Omar, there was some research that was done at James Cook University. And I just want to make sure that that was on your list for taking a look at. Thank you.
Sure. Just also, I can put my emails in the chat. If you can send this to me, and also we can include that. And also, we got comments to remote that some of the commission members asked to review some reports related to previous storms. So we are going to list all that and include them in the revision.
Hey, Ann, if you send it to me too, I'll be glad to make it available to the team.
Okay. Was there another committee member that was about to speak?
Yeah, Jeff Schnellman. Omar answered the question I had in his comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. All right. Any other committee members have any questions or comments? All right. Is there anybody from the public that likes to comment before the committee takes action on this?
Yes. Hi, this is Mark Fisher. I'd like to comment, if possible.
All right. Just so you know, you have up to 3 minutes max. I'll give you a one-minute warning. Go ahead and start. Say your name and representation, please.
Okay. My name is Mark Fisher, and I'm involved with a product called Storm Armor, which is one of the products addressing, hopefully, water mitigation. I've met with Omar just a couple of days ago. He came out to our site. We discussed water intrusion through the sliding glass doors. We also went ahead and I've spoken on a couple of cases with Mr. Madami. He's familiar with all the reports that I've sent both of them that show basically the testing that's been done, that FIU conducted on shutters and the testing that we've done, the extensive testing we've done, in the past 6 years at FIU on our product, on our water mitigation system. I've shared that also with the Florida Building Commission so they have all the results of that, so it's not a privacy issue anymore. And what we've shown is that what people use currently, you know, which are basically sandbags, are really, you know, what the cost of those are versus what we're trying to accomplish here, what we're trying to do in terms of effectiveness. Omar discussed with me how in Hurricane Ian, the significant amount of damage that occurred in Naples alone because of watering trees in second floor and above, you know, through tracks of slime bastos and other things, and how vast that damage was compared to his Fort Myers and everything. And we also presented a study done by Joel of Engineering, which I'm sure I can share with you, that shows basically the protocols and the study that we did at FAU versus their FAU-owned study on shutters. And in the shutter report that FAU did, they specifically call out that a significant amount of the water that they found came through the tracks of sliding glass doors, regardless how well insulated or how well manufactured your windows are. So again, I just wanted to bring up that a lot. I've also spoken with on a couple of occasions with Mr. Cattarelli from UF.
Mr. Fisher, just to let you know, you've got about 40 seconds.
Okay, I've also spoken with on occasions with Mr. Cattarelli from UF, and again about the same issue about water intrusion through sliding glass doors. And our team is available at any time to assist or do whatever it is, but this is an issue that we feel is, because of what's going on in the state of Florida, what's going on with hurricane insurance, what's going on with the condo market, of utmost importance to all the residents, especially in the state of Florida. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next, we'll hear from Travis Moore. Travis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. My name is Travis Moore. I'm a registered lobbyist for a significant amount of community association-related entities, condo, co-op, HOA. I've worked extensively on through the years, and then primarily over the past 3 years with Senator Bradley and Representative Lopez since the Surfside collapse, and so was intimately involved and worked very closely with them on 1021. I listened in on your last meeting, and there was some discussion as it relates to legislative intent. What did the legislature want as it relates to the study? And so being involved with them throughout the entire session and knowing where this issue originated from following a FEMA study related to damage with Ian that I think Mr. Fisher alluded to in Naples and Southwest Florida, I just wanted to be a resource. Certainly an answer if there were any questions that the commission had as it relates to what I think the legislature is intending. I'm going to be again, we talk every day, but I'm going to be again with the sponsors of this legislation next week in another series of town hall meetings, and can certainly, if there is additional direction that Mo or the commission needs as it relates to legislative intent, those members are certainly ready to provide a letter, direction, additional insight as it relates to kind of what they're expecting. And I think as you were watching the legislative process, when they initially got that study, knowing that water damage is the number one issue facing condominiums, and the compounding problem that it has when you're dealing with high-rise condos, they certainly were ready to act and move, did not want to wait through two and three more hurricane seasons. I think the initial language that the kind of the reaction.
Sorry, Mr. Moore, just to let you know, you've got about 40 seconds.
Thank you, sir. Just quickly, I think the initial language that we saw coming out of the legislature would have just kind of bypassed a lot of that study, a lot of the commission's good process that's in place, and then we're able to provide some direction as to how the commission works, how, you know, just good, how good policy would be better provided for in this, in, you know, having attack, having these dysfunction. So certainly ready and willing to help as it relates to what the legislature may want to see come forward, just given the discussion from certainly the last meeting.
Right. Thank you, Mr. Moore. Okay. Exactly three minutes. Anybody else in the public wish to speak? All right, then let's come back to the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee, and I think if you're ready, the motion would be that the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee recommends that the Commission approve FIU's scope of work for the research project titled An Experimental Testing Approach for Understanding and Mitigating Wind-Driven Rain Intrusion Through Cracks and Sliding Glass Door Systems During Hurricanes, pursuant to the requirements of House Bill 1021, and has charged DPR staff with contracting, administering, and overseeing the research, negotiating, scoping, and funding levels as appropriate. Cat members?
Yeah.
I'm Commissioner.
Stay out,
committee members.
Then say I so motion.
Second. Right, we have a motion. Is there a second? Committee members.
Second.
We have a motion and a second.
We have a motion.
Any discussion, Mr.
Yes, sir. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The motion carries. Thank you. Jeff?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll go on to our next project, and that would be investigation of the Windborne Debris Region, ASC 72022. As you know, as Mo described on April 16th, the commission voted to have the study done. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over to, unless you want to say anything introductory, Mo, to Jennifer Bridges.
Jennifer
will do well.
So go ahead, Jennifer.
Hi. I'd like to share my screen so I can present a few slides here.
All right, Jennifer, I'll give you 15 minutes if you need it and let you know kind of what you have about a minute or so.
Thank you so much. All right. So, yeah, my name is Jennifer Bridge. I am an associate professor at the University of Florida in civil and coastal engineering. I'm also the director of the Boundary Layer Wind Tunnel Facility here at UF, and I'm here on behalf of my colleagues, Kurt Gurley and Dave Pravat, also in civil and coastal engineering here at UF, and we're going to be working with ARA on this project as I'll be presenting, and so Jeff Shadon, I believe, is here as well and may chime in on some of their specific tasks in the scope. All right, let me get this to where it... Okay. So I think this committee and commission is very familiar with the background, so I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on why we've been asked to do this study, but I'm just going to give a brief summary to provide context for what we're proposing in this scope. So ASC 722 and subsequently the 8th edition of the Florida Building Code updated the definition of a windborne debris region to remove the word coastal. So it used to read within 1 mile of the coastal mean high water line where an exposure D condition exists, upwind at the waterline, and the ultimate design wind speed is 130 miles per hour or greater, and you can see in bold and struck out here the word coastal. So removing that word resulted in some windborne debris region designations for some inland regions adjacent to lakes that have those exposure deconditions, so greater than 5,000 feet of fetch, and then the design wind speed between 130 and 140 miles per hour. So based on what was requested of us, we've put together a scope that will hopefully address the science-based analysis of whether these inland regions with these exposure D conditions should have the windborne debris region designation. Now, Mo outlined this earlier in the discussion of the work plan. We have really limited time to do this ahead of the 2026 code update. So, you know, we really need to do what we're going to do between now and December. I just wanted to kind of head off the challenges at the beginning here. The limited timeline that we have, and also, you know, as we've been digging into this, there's potentially a lack of data available to really get a handle on these inland regions where we can capture the debris impact effects. It doesn't mean we're not going to try to address that challenge, but I wanted to kind of put that out there to begin with. So the objective is really to evaluate the differences between the coastal and inland windborne debris regions across a number of contributing factors. You know, this is exposure, land coverage, development trends. This is a complex issue, and this is something that probably warrants more than a 5-month project, but we're going to do our best in the time that we have. So, you know, really these questions are at the heart of this. What is the increased windborne debris risk for these inland areas that have an exposure D condition, and over what distance from these lakes is this increased risk observed? And so what we hope to achieve with this is some preliminary recommendations for the Florida Building Code that can be potentially incorporated, as Mo mentioned, in the 2026 code cycle. So we've outlined four tasks, and this is kind of an all-hands-on-deck to try to get at available resources and data and modeling tools that can help to answer some questions but may bring up additional questions, frankly. So we need to go back to ASCE 7. I know some folks have had conversations with folks at ASCE on really how the definitions were developed, both historical with the word coastal and more recent with the word coastal removed, and try to get a handle on, and again, we want to formalize some of these discussions and understand really where, you know, how the proposals were made and validated. We also want to do a deep dive into the literature related to the designation of these regions. There's an ARA study on windborne debris risk for the Panhandle that we want to dig into. And the result of this will be a summary of the literature that outlines recommendations and really try to understand how the literature aligns with the ASC 722 definition. Following or in parallel with the literature review, we have task two, which is where we're going to try to acquire as much data as we can. And this is going to be limited to what's available, but we really want to kind of dig into what we can kind of uncover and analyze in this time frame. So, you know, this is going to be damage assessments that have been done post-hurricane to the extent that they're available, where we can try to tease out building damage from windborne debris. That's not always something that is possible, but we're going to try to do that, especially for those inland regions adjacent to, you know, these lakes that have that exposure D condition. And we're going to look for other sources as well of damage assessment data. We're also going to do a comparison of existing building, you know, development trends, land coverage conditions for select inland lake regions and coastal regions. So again, this is this comparison to try to understand what's the same, what's different. We're going to be using aerial imagery and other existing data sources to try to characterize, again, what's going to contribute to the windborne debris risk. And this data will feed into the task that ARA is going to lead. And I should have mentioned, I'm putting in parentheses between in the title of each task, kind of who's leading it. So the next task is the ARA-led modeling. And again, it's getting back to those initial questions through comparative analysis that's being done with the models that ARA currently already has in development. So the simulation will be performed on existing neighborhood models. That's kind of limited because of the time frame we have here. But the methodology will be updated to account for changes in surface roughness with distance from inland water locations. Again, those exposure D conditions, and try to get at that comparison between windborne debris risk in areas adjacent to and far from large inland lakes. And we'll be, again, providing them some land coverage analysis that'll help assess the applicability of existing neighborhood models used in the analysis and also corroborate the change in surface roughness with distance from the water. And then finally, we're going to pull all this together with some reporting. We'll try to create some maps and some we will create results and some recommendations, where we'll develop figures, which may include maps based on the study results to visualize the findings, to support decision making by the Florida Building Commission related to this issue, and provide some preliminary recommendations as well. So, the deliverables and timeline, we want to have an interim report by December that summarizes the progress on all tasks that can be used ahead of the proposals for the next code cycle. So we'll summarize the findings, we'll present to HRAC, but we will continue to kind of work past that to kind of button up our documentation and our reporting. So we'll do a draft final report in January and then a final report in February. And it'll essentially be the deliverables of these four tasks, the literature review, the data analysis acquisition, analysis of the data that we're able to acquire, the modeling results, and any other investigation that's part of this project. So we want to make specific recommendations, but I do want to kind of manage expectations with the time frame. And, of course, we'll present our results as needed. So with that, I'm happy to take any questions or comments.
All right, thanks, Jennifer. Committee members, any questions or comments?
Jeff, Jim Schock here.
Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, Jennifer, in one of your slides, as well as in your write-up, you talked about contributing factors being exposure, land coverage, and development trends. Is there any effort to explore it based on types of disaster, like tropical storm, Category 1 storm, Category 2 storm, Category 3 and higher? So I kind of think at some point exposure really doesn't even matter anymore. And if you could do that, is there a possibility of doing a cost-benefit analysis of based on historic information and future trends?
Yeah, that's a great comment and can certainly be included in this initial assessment. I think maybe a cost-benefit analysis would be outside of the scope of this, just in terms of, you know, available time and resources. But I think that that's, again, I see this, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself, I really see this as a phase one project. I think there's a lot of factors to look at here, and I think type of, the, you know, storm intensity, storm event is certainly something we can look at in the preliminary study and may want to build on that with future work.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is a good start, maybe. But yeah, like I said, even in my own backyard, I've seen branches blown down and blown around, and in far less than a hurricane wind. So again, I'm just not sure how much exposure really matters in some of this.
Okay, thank you for that.
All right. Other committee members, any questions or comments?
Can I make a comment on the exposure piece? Is that no for me?
Oh, sure, go ahead, and then Joe Belcher will be next.
Yeah, apologies. Thank you. You know, exposure is something that is very important in terms of what the wind speeds are. Because the wind speeds change very greatly with exposure, and that's why we're looking at that. Of course, intensity is going to come with it too, but part of intensity is exposure. So that's why it's so important to look at how that exposure changes as you get away from that exposure decondition.
Okay. Thank you. Joe Belcher.
Thank you, Jeff. I wanted to make a comment rather than ask a question.
That's fine.
I agree with what Jim was saying, and as far as intensity, et cetera. However, I would like, especially due to the short time constraint and the fact that I do agree this is a preliminary study, I would like to see a strong focus on actual damage we've seen in these kinds of areas. I reviewed all the MATS reports, and I could not actually find any windborne debris damage reported in any of those reports. And I think that this is a major change to our code with no substantiation, actually. I looked at the reasons that were given in the ICC process to make this change, and the reason that was given in the Florida change, was that it was creating confusion. And I don't see the confusion. I think this extends the windborne debris region considerably. Nobody mentioned that it's a mile from the shore of the lake, and that is, we're talking a considerable amount of extension of the windborne debris region, again, with no, in my mind, justification. Thank you.
All right, Joe. All right. Any other committee member have any questions or comments? All right. Does any member of the public wish to comment?
Jamie Gaskin.
Sure, Jamie. Go ahead.
Good morning. Ms. Bridge, one thing I would ask is to consider the types or the need to identify in the existing building neighborhood models to make sure that the design aspect of those structures is accounted for. We are aware of certain neighborhoods in the Central Florida area that have availed themselves of like code plus designs, just to make sure that any modeling of that does describe or account for how those buildings were constructed. Along the lines of mitigating windborne debris, not only greenery and trees and things of that sort that become debris, but then the failure of buildings contributes to that windborne debris. So just a point to make sure that the report contemplates the design of those buildings. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. All right, anybody else in the public wish to comment? Okay. I'm not sure if Mr. Moore's hand is up or if that's an artifact in the previous discussion. But that's the only hand that I see, so. Down now, very good. All right, then hearing none, we'll come back to the committee members. Unless there's any additional discussion, The motion would be that the Hurricane Research Advisory Committee recommends that the Commission approve UF scope of work for the research project titled Investigation of the Windborne Debris Regions in ASC 722, and to charge CPR staff with contracting, administering, and overseeing the research, and negotiating the scoping and funding levels as appropriate. That should be contracting. Is there a motion?
I move, Mike Savage.
There a second?
Shock, second.
Chairman?
All right, thank you. We have a first and a second. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. The motion carries. Thank you. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The next steps, I think Mo described them in great detail, so I won't go into them any further than to say that the Commission will be taking action on this at their June 18, 2024 meeting. Unless there's any other public comment or committee comment, Mr. Chairman, I would turn it to you to adjourn us.
Okay, very good. Thank you, everybody, for your participation in today's meeting. We stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.